Marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update. Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour today for our Hemp Day Hump Day update. We've got Doug Fine in the house. How you doing, Doug?
Oh, my gosh, I'm blowing, Russ. It's all good news in the hemp world this week.
Oh, I'm sure there's a ton of it, too. So let's spare no moment and get right to it. What are you most excited about over these past couple of weeks?
I guess I'll speak personally first. I'm in the airport now, just heading home after an incredible week. I feel like it's a beginner's luck thing, although my partners in our Vermont Hemp Co-op are so wonderful. They're not beginners as farmers. I brought the hemp knowledge. They brought the seed oil knowledge. They're former sunflower seed farmers. They got all the processing equipment, so we're kind of sitting pretty on the processing end. And we just spent a week in the field. The seeds are starting to form. Some of them are ripe. If you go to my Twitter account, at Organic Cowboy, you can see me popping some fresh seeds and just see this incredible 15-foot plants just going off. 23 acres in Vermont and a free lumber for flowers, so I'm all blistered up from pulling nails in the in the flower side of the operation.
Wow.
So that's great. One other thing I wanted to mention by way of important news for hempsters out there is the USDA has said, I mean, it's the obvious, but we should be jumping up and down about the obvious, that hemp can indeed be certified for USDA organic, so that's big news as well.
Wow, great developments going on. So the state of Vermont's got the 23 acres growing there. What other states do we currently have hemp growing in?
Well, there's now, you know, I think a majority of states. I think we're up to 31 that have some form of hemp legislation. And the way that I look at them now is they're kind of tiers in terms of which are the programs that are somewhat, you know, I think doing the best job for farmers after all, right? We're trying to create a living for farmers who are creating a healthy product, healing the soil and reinvigorating rural economies. And so as I judge them, and this is a fast evolving situation, I would have answered this question differently 2 or 3 years ago. But the best programs right now are the state programs that have the least restrictions to full-on cultivation, even if they don't help the farmers get seed. And the reason is because there is American seed already. Mm-hmm. Last December, in the federal law, transfer commerce between state hemp programs is explicitly permitted, or I should say the Justice Department is explicitly prohibited from expending funds to interfere with interstate commerce.
Right.
There is sort of a footnote to that I'll mention, but just to answer your question, the reason I'm in Vermont, other than that it's beautiful and I like the people, is it's $25 to get a hemp permit, and it's grow all you want, as long as it's under 0.3. Other states are close to that. Colorado has a really, really solid hemp program, plus their state is moving ahead in official certified seed and allowing certified seed to be developed for hemp. That's important for farmers who want to get things like crop insurance and things like that. Oregon's got a good program. Pretty much everybody who applies is accepted. There's been progress on adjusting nuances in the Oregon program. So that's the top tier programs. Those are the ones I really like the best. And of course, Colorado, Kentucky, Tennessee, Hawaii, there's a bunch of other states where there's real viable hemp programs where farmers either are farming in huge quantity. I met a farmer in Kentucky at a conference this week who is cultivating 2,400 acres of hemp this year, which is more than, you know, all of the U.S. cultivated 2 years ago.
Right.
There's a lot happening in a lot of states for us. It's coming on as bigger than we could have hoped.
Well, I've seen in the headlines over the past couple of weeks, New York signed a bill to expand its hemp program. West Virginia has got some studies coming out on how much they could raise from hemp. And even looking internationally, Uruguay, which, you know, famously became the first country to legalize recreational cannabis, is now turning to hemp because they're not making enough off the recreational cannabis. It's amazing how this is taking off worldwide.
Yep, and the new York bill, which is a follow-up to their very sort of baby step bill last year, is great. It's a great development, but the real expansion that's going to help farmers there, and it actually matters because we're looking to expand our acreage in our Vermont project, and we can't do it over the border in New York yet because their new bill is contingent upon that change we all need in federal law, which is full commercial legalization.
Yeah, and you know, with Uruguay moving on this, they just cite, of course, in Uruguay, they're looking at selling recreational cannabis for a buck a gram. So maybe that helps explain why they're so interested in the industry of hemp as a way of making a little bit more money.
Yeah, and again, you know, I don't know that for me personally. I mean, I won't. Myself and other farmers to be able to make a living for their families for sure. But for me, the goal isn't necessarily the highest prices. You know, there's a balance there. But the reason why I'm really encouraged about growth on all sides of the plant is a study that was conducted recently by the big Canadian producers, the recently emerged Hemp Oil Canada and Manitoba Harvest, that shows that in the U.S., market saturation for hemp, do you have a guess? What percentage of American homes have some kind of hemp product according to their study, Russ?
If we're including, like, you know, lotions and all that kind of stuff, then I don't know, maybe 15%?
I would have guessed something like that or even higher. It's 0.5%.
Oh, wow.
99.5% of the market still has to be reached for hemp. So there is room for growth. And so folks listening out there who are in this industry, support. There's no such thing as a competitor yet. We have not even begun to scratch the surface of the market and how big it's going to be.
No kidding. And we're finding more and more of these industrial uses. I was turned on to this article out of Alaska, out on the Kenai Peninsula, and they had Dave Schmidt, who's the chief operating officer of a North Carolina-based industrial hemp manufacturing. He was up there in Alaska giving a presentation on how hemp fibers could be an absorbent for oil spills, and talked about how that could be a helpful application.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen some people now that are using just their extra fiber, their extra straw, basically, just lining their livestock corrals with it, and it matches down into this kind of antimicrobial pattern, a powder. So there's incredible, and you know, again, it sounds less astonishing when you think, of course, we've co-evolved with the plant and bred in qualities that are beneficial over 10,000 years of use. The amazing thing would be if we didn't do it. I mean, it's kind of fortunate that there's one plant that's so dang useful on so many fronts, but 10,000 years is a long time to develop a plant. You know, we developed the golden retriever pretty specifically over just a couple hundred years. So
yeah.
I'm less and less surprised. I also want to say one thing about small steps that appear to be small steps backwards. I'll give a couple of examples. After the first, as far as I know, there are only two. The first two USDA organic certifications that were issued for hemp crops through third-party certifiers, the USDA issued a sort of yield sign, a sort of wait. We're not sure about this. And people in the hemp community were, you know, I guess understandably kind of flipping out about it. And my take was, give me a break. This is just one of these speed bumps. Like, just my message to listeners is, don't tolerate bad policy. And literally, just two or three months later, today or yesterday, the USDA said, oh yeah, okay, it's cool. You can certify crops. Hemp crops. So, similarly, there was just an awful, awful, unforgivable letter issued last week, signed by U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, that was explicitly non-binding. They're like, this doesn't mean anything. This letter, not binding, but we just want to tell you what we think right now.
Okay.
And in it were several statements, and evidently it was supposedly a joint consultation with USDA and DEA, but it was, as I read it, it was only signed by the ag sector. There were several of the, I don't know, dozen or so points in this letter that were completely in conflict with federal law, that our representatives have done the job of getting into federal law to support our program. So, for instance, I told you What's really cool is last December, great work by the likes of Earl Blumenauer or Mitch McConnell, those types of hemp supporters, getting a provision in a big spending bill that said, hey, Justice Department, you can't mess with interstate commerce amongst hemp programs. Mm-hmm. This letter says, we think transfer of seeds between states is illegal. You're wrong, but the worst part about it isn't wrong. I mean, it's sad that someone maybe is going to have to defend this in court and stuff it, but it just is what's angering to me about that kind of thing. But first of all, do your research and know your own federal law.
Yeah,
because you work for us.
Yeah.
Secondly, this crop is only good, and to be arbitrarily making statements that are anything other than supportive of what everyone knows is an awesome thing for the strength of the country. Hemp is listed in the national security, I think you probably know this, Russ, national security preparedness plan, like in times of emergency crops that need to be stockpiled. Hemp is included in that list. You can look it up. I wrote about it in Hemp Bound. It's easy to find. And to have these counterproductive statements, it's extremely angering, but again, it's one of those things where I read that and said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, because there's only one destination, which is a massive hemp industry, and we're getting there.
Yeah. It seems like the government, also these executive branch agencies, whether it be Department of Justice, Department of Ag, you know, we saw the same situation with the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment when they said you can't spend, it was a spending bill, you can't spend money at the Department of Justice, the DEA, to go raiding state legal medical marijuana. And they came back and said, oh yeah, but we don't really think that's what it means. And of course, you know, Dana Rohrabacher is saying, look, I wrote the damn thing. I'll tell you what it means. And it took a court decision finally this last week to, you know, smack that down. It looks like we're probably going to have a similar court battle and court decision to get around on the hemp spending.
I think that's right. I mean, I think it's exactly the same mentality. It's just a bit inexplicable to me. It's you know, for me, life gets a little bit more sort of easy moralistically to teach when you have young sons, as I do, and it's sort of like there's right and there's wrong in a lot of cases, and I want to just chew someone's ear off for putting out a document like that, but in the end, we win. So,
well, there's a news story up on the Wall Street Journal. It was just posted 5 hours ago, and it's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission that has approved the first exchange for hemp derivatives. There's going to be a hemp derivatives market, trading market, futures market, I guess based in Chicago. Have you heard of this or any developments relating to this?
Yeah, I met those guys at the NoCo Hemp Expo last year, and you know, that's terrific. There's a lot of guys working on this type of thing for all the forms of cannabis, and that's fine. You know, listen, Russ, I personally, I'm working towards regionalizing and localizing the economy. You know, like we here is, forgive me for this big picture philosophizing here, but we as humanity have reached this point where we realize that for all the good that the development of the 20th century allowed, long lifespans and all that, it's not environmentally sustainable. We're killing ourselves.
Yeah.
And part of that is the facelessness of the economy, the fact that when you invest in a stock, it has nothing to do with the Indonesian community where the copper is coming from or whatever. And so for me, for my money, for my investments, I only want to put things forth that I feel are going to be regenerative and are going to be good for the long-term planet. I'm all for making a living for my family. I'm not about, you know, turning this into Cambodia in the 70s. I'm talking about just make a few switches that keep it regenerative. So for me personally, I don't know that such a decision is going to really affect my life, but nonetheless, anything that legitimizes the cannabis plant in any way is good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Doug Fine, you're in the airport right now, headed back to the goat ranch, are you?
That is right. I can't wait to go see the family. And they're, by the way, going to come at harvest time in Vermont. This was just they needed my hands there to pull the mails and give an opinion on when the seed's going to be ready for combining.
All right. Everybody check out Doug Fine on Twitter. He's at Organic Cowboy. You can also check out the website, DougFine.com. Isn't that correct?
That is it, Russ. And another awesome Hemp Day Hump Day. Can't wait for the next one.
All right. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have yourself a safe flight. Tell the pilot to do well.
Will do. Thanks.
How I always love it when the people say, have a safe flight. I'm like, really, it's not up to me. There's nothing I can do about it, really.
That is so true.
We'll see you, Doug. Talk to you next couple weeks.
Okay, bye.
That's right. Have a safe flight. Well, I was just kind of sitting there eating my 8 pretzels, but I'll do what I can. Oh, my goodness. Good to speak with Doug, making his way back to the Goat Ranch in New Mexico. When we come back from break, we'll have our final segment of Hour 1, our third pro-marijuana candidate and our second dyed-in-the-wool marijuana activist, Stephanie Hart Viscovich, running for office in Washington out of a district in Seattle. She's next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.